ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नैतत् पूर्व ऋषयश्चक्रूर न करिष्यन्ति चापरे निरम्बूर्धारयेत् प्राणान् को वै दिव्यसमासतम्। नैतत्पूर्व ऋषयश्चक्षु न करिष्यन्ति चापरे निरम्बूर्धारयेत् प्राणम् को वै दिव्यसमासतम्। Mataji's, please. करिष्यन्ति चापरे निरम्बो धारयेत् प्राणान् न नाट् एतत् दिस् पूर्वऋषया द सेज् इस् बिफोर् यू सच् एस् भृगु चक्रु executed na nor karishyanti will execute cha also apare others nirambu without drinking water dharayet can sustain pranan the life air ka who why indeed divya sama celestial ears satam 100. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities. Nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water for 100 celestial years? Purport. It appears that even if a yogi does not drink a drop of water, he can live for many, many years by the yogic process through his outer body, though his outer body be eaten by ants and moths. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunivadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is explained that as devotees, if we follow what we tell others, we will actually become perfect very quickly. But the problem is, it's easy to say, but it's hard to follow. So we saw in the previous chapter how Hiranyakashipu was imparting so much knowledge and wisdom to the queens. But now we see something like completely contradictory. He wants his material body to become immortal and is going through so much austerities. It's amazing if, you know, people in Kali Yuga, people of this day and age, they conclude somebody is God just because, you know, they could do something insignificant like produce some ashes or a little bit gold or, you know, something like that. But what would people of this day and age do if they were to see somebody like Hiranyakashipu? They will completely be convinced he's God. But according to Bhagavatam, somebody is doing all these extraordinary things doesn't necessarily make them God, but he is actually called a demon. Even his own son, Prahlad Maharaj, he addressed Hiranyakashipu saying, "You're the best of the demons." So, what makes the difference is the character. Like Prabhupada explained, that philosophy without good character has very little or no value. It's like when Prabhupada was talking to this reporter. They were discussing so many things. This lady wanted to, Prabhupada was talking about cow killing. And Prabhupada said, you know, this lady said, what do you think about our culture? And Prabhupada said, you know, cow gives milk, she's like our mother, and bull helps, you know, farm, produce grain, so he's like our father. So what can I say about a culture that eats their own mother and father? And this lady wasn't prepared for that. She was like speechless. And she wanted to change the topic and said, "Can you say something about philosophy?" Prabhupada said, "What's the use of philosophy? Philosophy has no value unless there is character." So the point is, even while talking high philosophy, if we are doing anything different from what Prabhupada taught us, doesn't matter how insignificant that is, if it's different from what Prabhupada told us, we are all guilty of that. We won't feel the empowerment of the parampara. In other words, if we are not following strictly what Prabhupada gave us, we will not become selfless to spread Krishna consciousness, to live in a crazy city like this. And to spread Krishna consciousness, we have to actually have genuine compassion and selflessness. Otherwise, we cannot go on, we cannot fake it. So to become selfless means to be equal to every person. So unless we are strictly following the teachings of Prabhupada, we won't be empowered. We will discriminate. We will be nice to some and we won't be nice to some, because it basically comes down to what's pleasing to my senses. It's like a prostitute mentality. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was standing outside this Jagannath Puri temple. He was so renounced, he wouldn't work hard to, make his living. He would just chant all day, and sometimes he would just stand outside the temple, and whatever prasad the visitors give him, he will be happy. So one day he caught himself that, he's thinking, he's sizing each person up, thinking, will this person donate me something or no? Oh, maybe he will, maybe he won't. So this way he's considering who's nice based on what he's going to give. Then he said, what kind of mentality is this? So he left. He said, I cannot do this in the renounced order of life. I cannot be nice to some people because they're nice to me, and, I'm not nice to some people because they're not giving me anything. So he left. So every living entity has so much potential to serve or to cause havoc. Our original position as Krishna's part and parcel is to live forever, to serve and enjoy in relationship with Krishna. But being forgetfulness of Krishna, we want to be immortal, because the nature of the soul is to live forever. But because we are in this body, even though we are in this body, we still want to live forever. We want to be immortal and enjoy and control separate from Krishna. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Whatever situation you give a living entity, doesn't matter how condemned he or she is, he still wants to enjoy. We always find a way to enjoy. That enjoying propensity is there in every living entity. Doesn't matter how much we are suffering, we always find a little enjoyment. It's amazing. There's the example of this person. There was this minister. And this minister was always getting bribes. And the king kept getting complaints. Oh, this person is always asking for bribes, always asking for bribes. It's always money, money, money. So the king loved this minister so much, but he said, I want to put this guy in a situation to see how he will get bribed. In other words, I'm going to put him in a situation where it will be impossible to collect bribes. So he sent this minister to this local lake. And he said, you have to count all the ripples, as many as possible in a day. That's your service for the next 6 months. So he was counting, but his hands were itching, It's like, how am I going to make some bucks, And a tourist came by and he threw a big rock into the lake, and the minister called the tourist and said, did you realize what you just did? The guy said, no, did I make an offense? He said, yes. It's the order of the king to me to count all the ripples, and you distracted my service. So I have to go to jail for that. The tourist says, is there any way I can get out of this? He said, how much you got? So the king was really amazed, this guy, wherever you send him, he's going to do his thing. Similarly, the nature of the living entity, Prabhupada explains, even if you're a worm in stool, still you're finding some kind of happiness in that circumstance. So that enjoying propensity is there, that controlling propensity is there. So as a devotee, we have to be mindful whether we have this propensity separate from Krishna. In other words, a devotee is always mindful, a devotee is always asking, you know, who are we trying to please? Am I spending all my energies to please my false ego, which is like never possible? It's like doing business with someone who has such a bad record that he's a cheater. Similarly, trying to please our senses and false ego, it's never possible. Or, as devotees, are we really here to please Krishna? Because sometimes, even while we are trying to serve Krishna, we can be unconsciously trying to serve ourselves. It's very, very subtle. It's very, very subtle. There is this example of this sadhu, saintly person, living in Vrindavan. He would do parikrama, he would circumambulate the whole Vrindavan every day. Usually it takes few days. And he wouldn't eat anything till he finishes his, parikrama. And one day he had like long matted hairs, he was emaciated and he was really austere. One day he was walking so fast, on the way he was doing parikrama, his matted hair got caught in some thorny bush. It was really bad, like he couldn't do anything, like he was like helpless. And he was getting tired and, you know, sun is setting and, you know, he cannot eat and he was really helplessly calling for Krishna. And Krishna appeared and Krishna wanted to give him some prasad. And he says to Krishna that, I cannot eat. Krishna says, why? Because I have a vow that, you know, unless I finish my parikrama, I cannot eat. And Krishna says, you know, what's the point of your parikrama and all your austerities? Oh, trying to please you. So then I'm telling you, you should take this prasad, then you should take it. Then he says, oh, how do I know you're actually Krishna? I only know Srimati Radharani. And if she appears and tells me, then I will accept this prasad. And then Srimati Radharani appeared and confirmed. And then he accepted the prasad. So in other words, we are, even though we're trying to serve Krishna, our false ego gets in the way. So if we are not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in a daily basis, we can again get into this bodily concept of life. And so much so that we hope and dream and we wish that we can save these rotting bodies, and all the time we are busy serving the senses, living in this world, material world, which is temporary and miserable. There is this example of this Mudgal Rishi in the Mahabharata. Very nice pastime. It's explained that Mudgal Rishi, he actually pleased Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was so pleased with him, he said to Mudgal Rishi, I'm so satisfied and pleased with your service that I want to send you to the heavenly planets. And Durvasa Muni, he called for this heavenly airplane to come and take Mudgal Rishi. And the Devadutas, the, you know, servants from the heavenly planets, they appeared in their airways, you know, they came in their plane to take Mudgal Rishi. And he was ready to leave, and then he asked the Devadutas. He says, "Where am I going? And what's so nice about the place I'm going? Because it's after all given to me by, you know, Durvasa Muni, must be so special. Can you tell me something?" And the demigods, they explained to him that, you know, the place you're going, there is no old age, there are no disease, there's no pregnancy. Everyone is always fresh, and there is no starvation, no exhaustion. And so many wonderful things he explained about the heavenly planets and the bodies of the demigods and like this. And Mudgal Rishi was so wise, he actually asked them, "Okay, that's nice. So is there any disadvantage, or what are the disadvantages of going to the heavenly planets?" Our tendency is, you know, even though we live in such a miserable place, we always wanted to sweep it under the rug, and, you know, we like pro-material world, you know. We always want to prove Krishna wrong, and even though Krishna certifies this place to be like Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, temporary and miserable, but we want to prove Krishna wrong and show to him how there is happiness here. We're so enthusiastic about it. But Mudgal Rishi was so intelligent, he asked, like, you know, even though he's going such an exalted place as the heaven, he asked, like, what are the disadvantages? There must be something. And the demigods explained to him that when you go to these higher planets, your very body is made of your pious results. And when these pious results are finished, you just suddenly drop from there. It's like it runs out, just like you put money in the parking meter, it starts ticking. Similarly, the body, you go there due to your pious credits, but then when they run out, you drop from there. And how do you know that you're in the last stages of your stay in the heavenly planets? The demigods explained to him that your garland you're wearing will start fading, will start to wilt. And that's when you get in so much anxiety, thinking, you know, that you have to leave, you have to fall down. And when you come here to this, again to this earth planet, you will miss those opulences so much that you will be very different from other, you know, earthly denizens. And you will suffer more than others, and not only that, the chances are you can even lose that and go into lower species. You can go into lower species of life. Abrahma bona loka punaravartin Arjuna. They were explaining to him, and he said, "My God, this sounds terrible. You know, is there any other place where there, you know, there is no dualities like this?" And the demigods explained, "Yes, there is such a place." And they explained to him, it's the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no dualities. And the Devadutas explained to him that you can only get there through devotional service, through unalloyed pure devotion. So Mudgal Rishi said that, "You guys go ahead, I'm not, you know, coming with you. I'll just stay here and continue, I'll perform devotional service and attain the supreme destination. What's the use of so much austerity and this and that to attain something which will ultimately end?" He said, "I don't want that kind of destination." So Prahlad, like Prahlad Maharaj said, you know, to go to hell is real hard work. But to go back home, back to Godhead, is really easy. To please Krishna, to serve Krishna, is very easy. Because no matter how much we have, actually the more we have, the more we are frustrated. Just like most of us, we don't have much. But I talked to some, you know, rich people, Indian people. They explain that, you know, they're always in anxiety. They have so much. They're always thinking about like how to invest, where to invest, you know, what's the best thing to do. Because they know in the back of the mind they're going to die. And after they die, you know, what does it matter how much you have, where you invested, all these things. So the more we have, the more we are in anxiety. So it's better that, you know, we don't have much, but we have, you know, spiritual wealth. We have devotional service. And through devotional service, we can actually conquer Krishna, who is called Ajita. Ajita in Sanskrit means unconquerable. Through devotional service, we can actually conquer Jita. We can make Krishna Jita, conquered. And, you know, what more can a person aspire for in this whole creation? There's nothing higher. It's explained in the Mahabharata how when Arjuna was actually fighting, Krishna was his chariot driver, and when you're fighting the war, you don't actually have time to actually tell the driver what to do. So you basically kick them. If you're the fighter, and you basically kick the guy who rides your chariot, if you kick him on the right side, then he goes right. You kick him on the left side, he goes left. You kick him straight, then he goes straight, like that. So can you imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead taking the position of a chariot driver of Arjuna and being kicked? There's so many examples Prabhupada gives. Krishna carries his wooden sandals of Nanda Maharaj. The other day Mahamantra Prabhu was saying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just for a little buttermilk, he's actually dancing. The gopis tell him, okay, I'll give you a little buttermilk, you dance now, then Krishna dances. So we cannot imagine the good fortune we have given by Srila Prabhupada. Just like yesterday, there was this nice preaching program near Artesia. Ratnabhushan made a very nice feast. There were like so many people, at least like 1,000 people. There was this famous musician, he's come from Mumbai. He's a very big person. But the organizers, they invited us to come and do kirtan before he starts. So we were supposed to sing for a half hour, and the person came a little late. So we were singing for 40 minutes, and then after he came, everybody was touching his feet and trying to get his attention like that, but he signaled to us like, keep singing, keep singing. So he sat down in the crowd. And there's so many like video cameras and, you know, photos being taken. I was just thinking, you know, how only the, you know, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, there is no, how do you say, there's no qualification necessary. I was very humbled and embarrassed to chant in front of him. Such a famous singer is sitting there. But I was thinking, well, you know, what can I do? I'm here and the holy name is all powerful. And I was just chanting, and there's like at least like 1,000 people. They were listening and they were ate the prasadam of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadish. So we have given something which is very valuable, and we could also share that with others. There's no comparison to what we have been given. And you can give this to anybody, rich, poor, famous, infamous, crazy. Anyone can chant this Hare Krishna mantra and attain the supreme perfection, the love for Krishna. So I'll end there. Is there any questions or comments? Amal Bhakta Prabhu, can you give him the microphone?
First of all, does anyone have a question? You can go before me if you have a question to ask, because this is a comment. Nobody? All right, the comment that I just wanted to make, first of all, is thank you very much for so many wonderful, illustrative stories to bring out and emphasize certain spiritual principles or bhakti principles. They're all very nice and easy to understand with those stories. I just wanted to comment on just one point, and that is, you had mentioned, and it's quite true, that yes, a devotee can even conquer Krishna. But I want to make it very clear that that is never a devotee's goal. The goal is not to conquer Krishna, but to be conquered by Krishna. This is our goal. What does it mean to be conquered by Krishna? It means that we are always resistant to giving ourselves or surrendering ourselves to the Supreme Lord. As a result, this creates a gulf or a space between our heart and Krishna's heart. And the bigger, the less surrender there is, the bigger the space or the gulf is. So the business of the devotee is to surrender more and more and more until he is 100% surrendered. And then at that point, he is totally conquered by Krishna. The conquest, of course, is the conquest of the false ego. The false ego is taken by Krishna and literally dissolved. And all there is left is the real ego, which now devotes and dedicates itself totally and fully to serving Krishna lovingly, doing whatever Krishna wants him to do. So therefore, the devotee is always aspiring to be conquered by Krishna. And when he actually is totally conquered by Krishna, the irony of it all is as you mentioned, he has conquered Krishna. So by wanting to be conquered by Krishna, or to please Krishna's senses, please Krishna's mind, please Krishna's intelligence, please Krishna, period, one automatically gets so much affection and love and kindness and grace from Krishna that, yes, he in effect does conquer Krishna.
Thank you. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.